Hey, so if you're interested in getting plugged in on that, there's a table out in the atrium. Tom's going to be out there after service, and go check that out, and you can learn more about how we can be a blessing to those in need through Toys for Tots. Hey, today is a special day because we just recognize our veterans today, but I'm going to invite you all to stand. If you're in service or you have served, I'm going to invite you to stand. We have our E3 ministry. If you don't know what our E3 ministry is, every Thursday night we have our kids K through 6th grade. They meet every Thursday night and they study the Bible. They learn about Jesus and they do life together. And our E3 ministry, they have prepared cards that they want to give to you to bless you and to recognize your service for us today. And so they're going to just stay standing and they want to celebrate you. That's just an incredible act of kindness from our E3, and we appreciate you who are in service. As they're passing those out and you're receiving those, just stay standing. I want to pray a blessing over you this morning. God, we thank you for all the men and women in this room, Father, who have served for the protection of us, God, for our freedoms. And Lord, we just pray your hand of rich blessing and provision over each of them today, God, over their families. And God, we are just so thankful for them, who they are for us, and God, their friendships, Lord, their servitude, and Father, how that is demonstrated through you serving us. God, I pray your hand of blessing and provision over their lives, over their families, and I pray that today they feel honored, valued, and that celebrated today for their work. And God, we just appreciate them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hey, so again, my name's Ty. I'm the worship pastor here. Usually I'm here and I'm leading our church in worship, but every once in a while I get an opportunity to come up and speak and share God's word. So thank you for allowing me to do that. Thank you to Pastor Nathan, who is away with his son River, celebrating his 10th birthday, and they're having a great time. Let's keep them in prayer, and just it's awesome for him to be able to celebrate that time with his son. And so today, I think that we have an amazing, amazing truth ahead of us in shaping perspective of what it looks like to step closer towards God in faith. We've been in a series called Encounters, and in this series, we've walked through different encounters that Jesus has had with people during his time here on earth during ministry, and we're going to look at an encounter that Jesus has with Peter, and we're going to be out of Matthew 14. We're going to be landing in verses 22 through 32 today, so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. If not, no worries, it'll be on the screen behind me. And you know, a lot of us are familiar with this passage. This is the passage where Jesus walks on water, right? We've heard of this passage, and it's usually referenced in relation to having faith in Christ, right? Taking a step out of the boat in faith towards Christ. And yes, that's a part of it, and we're going to talk about that today. But there's something a little bit more that we're going to gather in what it means to shape perspective in taking a step of faith towards Christ. But before we jump into that, I want to qualify Peter just for a moment. Peter is an amazing guy. He's just awesome. If you've read about Peter, you can see he's just like, he's so fast moving, right? And Peter, also known as Cephas, his original name is Simon, right? And Jesus gives him a new name, Cephas in the Aramaic, or Peter in the Greek, and it means rock. Okay, so Peter, the rock, he's one of the closest followers of Jesus. He's one of the 12. He's the brother of Andrew. He's an outspoken, passionate disciple. He is one of Jesus' closest friends. He's the pillar of the church. We see that in Galatians 2:9. And, you know, honestly, sometimes, church, I like to try to think that I want to relate myself to Peter in ways. I probably don't do a great job at it, but he's just, he's so enthusiastic. He's so fast moving. He's kind of a ready, aim, fire kind of guy, right? I mean, some might say that he's a little impulsive at times, maybe a little arrogant. But it's in this nature where sometimes it gets Peter into trouble, and sometimes it moves God's kingdom forward in incredible and powerful ways. But even for all of Peter's strengths, he has a couple shortcomings, right? Probably the one, the most memorable, the most profound is when he denies Christ. Jesus says, hey, you're going to deny me. Peter's like, no way, Lord, I'm going to die for you. And Jesus says, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Sure enough, Peter denies Christ. And this is another reason, church, why I can find myself relating to Peter in ways, because I too have walked in seasons where I feel like my faith has failed, where I feel like my doubt has consumed me, or my faith has not propelled me towards moving towards Christ. And maybe you have experienced that in your life too, or maybe you're in a season right now where you are experiencing that in this moment. Maybe you're not, right? Maybe you're in a season where the sun is shining and it's amazing. Give God praise, because the reality is Jesus reminds us that the world is goofed up. It's goofed up, and we're going to face ups and downs of life, and refinement comes through that, but it's our perspective that is going to keep us ready in the midst of how we are going to walk in the midst of that. And so, again, we're going to be in Matthew 14, verses 22 through 32. We're going to look at this encounter that he has. It'll be on the screen. I'm going to read it. You can follow along. Verse 22, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and they said, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand. He took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got back into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's pray. God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word, the fact that it reaches us in our everyday circumstance. And Lord, I pray that today, you would speak a message through me that would be clear, and from your word it would be truth. God, not something that we just hear, but something that we can apply to our lives, something to help shape us towards being more transformed into what it looks like to be a reflection of you towards others. And we thank you, Jesus. It's your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So hey, as we live life, right, as we live life in the presence of Jesus, or say it this way, we can live life in the presence of Jesus, right? But the real question becomes, will we let that relationship with him be more than just a ministry of presence? And here's what I mean by that. When we can get involved in a lot of things that would seem like Jesus wants us to be involved in, right? We could be part of a thriving and moving church. We can get engulfed in prayer. We can pray. We can read the Bible. We can do works of service and charity, all these great things. But if we're not careful, sometimes we can miss out on what Jesus is actually trying to do through us, what he's calling us to do within our lives. And if we don't have that in our perspective, church, sometimes our days can just really feel filled up rather than fulfilled. You see, our days can feel filled up rather than focused. And this encounter that we're going to look at today, it's happening right after Jesus feeds the 5,000. If you're new to the Bible and you don't know that story, let me say it really fast. Jesus is teaching on a hillside, on this mountain. He's teaching a mass group of people that become hungry. Disciples are trying to figure out how to feed them. They don't have food. There's just two loaves of bread and five fishes, and Jesus multiplies the bread and the fishes, and did I say two loaves? Two fishes, five loaves and two fishes, sorry. I caught myself. There's five loaves and two fishes, and Jesus multiplies the food, and he feeds the masses, and he feeds the 5,000, right? And this is an incredible work, because not just 5,000, right? The 5,000 is in reference to just the men, right? And it doesn't even count the women and the children who are there. So he feeds so much more people than that. And it's incredible work of God and miraculous work that he has done. And you would think by seeing this in action, right? The disciples seeing this and all the other things they've seen Jesus do and all of his teaching and everything that he shared, you would think that who he is, his power, everything that Jesus has to offer, you think that that truth would be rooted in their hearts and their minds. But we're going to see that play out here in a second. Matthew 14, let's start in 22. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him onto the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Notice the word immediately. Right? Jesus immediately leaves the crowd. After feeding the 5,000, he seems to be in a hurry. And we don't know the exact reason why Jesus is in a hurry, but a parallel account in John 6, it gives us some insight of why that may be. John 6:15, it says this, "Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself." You see, church, Jesus knew that the circumstance and the timing of the situation wasn't right. Right? The people, they wanted to come and make him king. They're like, "Oh man, he just did this miraculous work. Let's come and crown him as king." But Jesus knew that there was a bigger plan in place. And you see, what we want sometimes is not always what God has planned. And Jesus knew that there was a bigger work still in motion. And so he says to the disciples, he made them, and the actual word here, the Greek word here being used is compelled, right? He compelled the disciples to get into the boat, to sail across the Sea of Galilee and go towards Bethsaida. And you see, the plan that he has was a little bit different than the plan of the people. And I think in my life, I think, man, there's a lot of truth of that that I can relate to. Because oftentimes, church, I find myself asking God to do something within my plan. I ask him to make something happen or to provide something in place in something, in a circumstance that I don't have full understanding in. You see, God's plan is bigger than my plan. I know it's deep. Right? God's plan is bigger than my plan. And I know it's not the deepest statement that we've said, but it's sometimes hard for us to live out. It's sometimes hard for us. We tend to overcomplicate that in times. At least I do. I have to remind myself, his view is bigger than my view. He sees it all. He knows it all. God has created it all. He is in with it all. He knows that this is not the right time. And so he tells the disciples, "Hey, get in the boat. Sail across the sea. I have a different work to complete." He removes himself. And so in verse 23 says this, "And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When the evening came, he was there alone." Second thing to recognize, Jesus makes time to pray. Jesus makes time to pray. Even in the midst of his ministry, he removes himself to spend time in prayer. He removes himself from the busyness, right? From the distractions, from the "I need to do this" or "I need to do that." He removes himself from the calendar, if you will, and he positions himself in a posture of worship before the Father, and he proceeds to pray. You see, church, life without the presence of God is just busy. That's all it is. Life without the presence of God, it just gets busy. You see, work that's not prepared in prayer has no power. The things that I do, the things that I put in place, if not prepared in prayer, it has no power. Why? Because at that point, it's just what I'm doing, right? It's what Ty's doing. It's my effort. It's my creative thing. Sorry. It's my creative thing. That's the second time that happened. I did that in first service too. It's my creative thing. It's me, right? It's my strength. And here's the fun fact, church. That doesn't work. And if you think it works, try to do it yourself. Let me know how it goes and then revert back to this point that it doesn't work. Right? Because the Bible reminds us that apart from Christ, that I have no power. Apart from Christ, I have no strength. And Jesus reminds us of this in John 15:5. He says, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." It's not me. It's not my strength. It's Christ within me. You know, I had a recent birthday not too long ago, back in September, and I'm going to remember this birthday well. It's a memorable one because I thought I was turning 37, and I guess that's what happens when you start getting older. And so I remember I'm talking to my wife, and we're in the kitchen, and I was like, "Man, babe, I can't believe I'm turning 37 this year. Time is flying by." And she's like, "No, you're turning 36. And I was like, no, I'm turning 37. And she says, "Ty, you're turning 36. I was like, "Really?" And so I figure it out. I go and get the calendar, do the math, and church, I'm 36 years old. I mean, this is a big deal. I got a whole year of my life back. I mean, this is incredible. We went out to dinner to celebrate. This is a memorable birthday. You know, nonetheless, I'm still not as young or resilient as I once was, right? I mean, I'm not 37. That's ancient, but there's hope for me yet, you know, so. But still, I got to think about things before I do them, right? I got to think. I remember not too long ago, it was a Thursday night, and some of the Reach students, the high school students, they were out playing basketball. And we finished service, and, you know, we just got done, and I go out there. I'm like, yeah, that's what's up. I'm going to go play basketball. I like playing hoops. And, you know, I go out there, and I'm wearing, like, these type clothes and these shoes, and I just go out there, and not even thinking, I just stretch out. I just start playing. And I'm running and playing. I'm, you know, thinking everything's fine. And then, like, kind of midway through the game, I'm thinking, you know, I don't remember my leg hurting when I started playing this. When I started, I'm not coming to regret this in the morning here. It's probably not a smart idea. And, you know, and some of that's inevitable, right? Some of that is inevitable because just not as resilient as I once was. But some of that is because I didn't prepare right, right? If I would have just taken some time and maybe, you know, put some shorts on, put some shoes on, maybe stretch out a little bit. I could go and play the game with the same people, the same intensity, and I'd probably be more effective and less prone to injury in that game. And I think about that in relation to my spiritual life. You see, if I'm not preparing myself, then I'm more prone to injury throughout the day. You see, I the functions of the day don't change, right? The reality of the day doesn't change. The encounters don't change. The conversations don't change. The same people who cut you off on the road don't change. But if I've positioned myself in Christ, in his word, in prayer, if I've stretched out, if you will, I'm much more able to have a better perspective. It's not the change, but it's my perspective that is made different. And Jesus knows the importance of this, and so he prepares himself in prayer as he continues to move towards the work ahead. Verse 24. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. You got to remember, these men were just in the physical presence of Jesus, and now they're not. Jesus sends them on the boat alone. And you got to remember that these guys, they know how to navigate out on the boat, right? This is not an unusual environment for them. Having storms and rough waters out there is not a foreign element to them. But this night, right, this storm was unique in their experience. The wind was intense, the waves were intense, they were throwing the boat around, and it probably felt like the storm was against them. Have you ever felt like that? Like the storm is against you. And we know by this point, they're probably 3 to 4 miles out from the shore, and the winds have made it difficult for them to travel, and the conditions were rough. And I can only imagine their fear in that time. They're longing for Jesus to be there. They're crying out for help. They're fearful for their lives because they feel that the storm is against them. And you know what's interesting? What's taking place in the same time, Jesus is off on the mountain and he's praying. And you know, what's interesting about this is the location the location of this mountain. A lot of commentators, they speak to the fact that it oversees, so there's a clear view of the water where the boat would have been, right? So where Jesus is praying on this hillside, there's a clear view. Commentators speak to this, where there's a clear view to where you can see the boat, and it gives perspective and it's comfort for us in knowing that sometimes when we feel like we're out on sea alone, where the disciples, they were out and they felt like Jesus was not with them, he had them in their sight the whole time. You see, God sees me in the storm. He's near us in the struggle. And though it seems like he's distant at times, he's there. And the same charge that was given to the children of Israel, the same is said true for you and me here today. In Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord, your God, goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Church, it's comforting to know that Jesus is near us at all times. Amen? Verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, this is somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., he came to them, this is Jesus, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it's I. Don't be afraid. And earlier in the text, we read that the wind was against them, right? The storm was against them. But now Jesus is standing in the distance, and perhaps the wind that is against them is the very thing that is allowing Jesus' voice to carry to hear and let the disciples hear him more clearly. Isn't that an interesting thought? That sometimes the storm that we are facing, right, the very thing that seems in opposition to us is oftentimes the very thing that allows us to see and hear Jesus more clearly. You see, Jesus went to them walking on the sea, and Jesus walking on the water, it obviously came as a shock to them, right? They were afraid, they were scared, they cried out in fear, they thought he was a ghost, but Jesus says, hey, take heart. It's me, it's I, do not be afraid. Notice Jesus doesn't come to bring trouble to the disciples. He doesn't make them afraid. He didn't come to leave them in a position of fear to see like what they would do, right? To test them in a way, like see what kind of reaction he would have. He just says words of comfort. He says, take heart, it's me, don't be afraid. And this reveals, church, two reasons why we should put away fear in our lives. When you're in the midst of the storm, whatever season it is, two reasons why we can put away fear. And the first one is this, okay? Maybe the problem that we're facing is really not just that big a deal. Maybe it's really not that big a deal. Maybe we have overthought it. Maybe we've let the hypothetical or the what ifs consume our way of thinking. And maybe the danger that we're facing is somewhat manufactured, and it's really just not that big of a deal. But the other is said true, that maybe it is a big deal. Right? Maybe you are in a real storm. Maybe the danger is real, and maybe the reality of the threat is significant. But even though the danger is real, we know that there's an even greater solution and help at hand, and it comes in the person of Jesus Christ. He says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. You see, church, peace is not found in the absence of the storm. It's found in the presence of Jesus. Jesus doesn't come and just immediately calm the storm, right? That's not what he does. No, he comes and he establishes his presence. Verse 28. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. I got to stop for a second because I just love Jesus' response right here. How simple it is, right? He just gives a simple response. He doesn't overcomplicate it. He doesn't give a long, detailed description of how Peter is, you know, should I kind of put one foot out, left first or right? I was kind of slide a little bit. No, he just says, come. He doesn't give instruction on how to do it. You know, church, I'm realizing more and more in my life that sometimes the most profound things that Jesus speaks to me in my life are also the most simple. And here's a fun fact for us this morning. Complicated doesn't mean deep. Right? Complicated doesn't mean, if I'm sharing something with you in scripture and it sounds super complicated, that doesn't necessarily equate to deep. You see, sometimes we can overcomplicate what it means to follow God in faith. Sometimes we can get so caught up in asking for details when God has already supplied the direction. We can look so hard for confirmation when he's already given us the command. You see, he doesn't give Peter a list of instructions on how to walk on water. He just says, do it. Come. Come. The same voice that calls you to come is the same voice that will enable you to do it. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and he came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Church, faith is followed with taking a step. If you want to have faith, take a step. You remember the Israelites when they were preparing to cross the Jordan the night before, they prayed and they consecrated their hearts, and then the next day, the priests, what do? They stand at the bed of the water and they took a step into the water, and then the water parted. You see, faith is followed with taking a step, but oftentimes that step gets a little uncomfortable. Right? Taking a step can push us out of our comfort zone. And there's no doubt that we like to have comfort. I'll speak for myself. There's no doubt that I like to have comfort, right? I like to have safety. I like to feel secure. And honestly, inherently, I don't think that's really a bad thing. I don't think that's a bad thing to have, but sometimes my desire for these things can cause my faith to be limited to just how far I can reach. You see, church, if my faith is limited to just how far I can reach, then I'm never really experiencing the full extent of what God wants to do through me or what he is able to do through me. You see, sometimes Jesus is going to ask us to take a step, take a risk in trusting him. And sometimes you just have to get out of the boat, right? And that's the faith, right? To stick it. Take a step of faith out of the boat, but it's going to get better, right? So taking a step out in faith towards Christ, but here's the thing, just because we step out of the boat, right, it doesn't mean the problem goes away, right? It doesn't mean the storm goes away. In fact, it's kind of the opposite sometimes. I know in my experience, like even where I feel like, okay, Lord, I'm taking a step. Oh no, I'm not coming back, right? Because sometimes we take a step of faith and now we're in the thick of it, right? It gets more intense. And that's what happens to Peter. See, he takes a step of faith and then he gets distracted and he gets overcome by fear. We also got to remember that Peter, he's defying the laws of gravity. He's walking on water. Right? He's defying the laws of gravity, defying the laws of physics. He's defying the laws of everything that we know to be true. And he's walking on water in pursuit of Jesus and his presence. But the reality of the storm, it catches him off guard. It causes him to fear. And he starts to focus, or takes his focus off of Jesus and places it on that which is around him. And the truth is, when I take my eyes off Jesus, I begin to sink. When we take our eyes off Jesus, we begin to sink. And the storms of life, they begin to quickly overcome us. We can get stuck and sucked into our temptations, right? We can get overwhelmed by life and relationships. We forget who's in control and we begin to take matters into our own hands. And the reality is, church, life is full of storms. Right? Big storms, real and significant storms that can bring danger and destruction. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we're not only able to endure the storm, but we can actually walk above the storm because we are doing so in the presence of God. And so Peter, he gets distracted. Right? He takes his step of faith and he gets distracted and he cries out, "Lord, save me." And so Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And this is where I'm talking about where it gets better, because I'm just like, that's what Jesus says is little faith? I'm like, he took a step. Like he stepped out in the water. And sometimes, church, we think of that taking a step of faith is making that step. But the reality is that the situation doesn't change. You see, the step of faith is keeping the focus on Christ in the midst of the storm around me. And Jesus says, "Oh, you of little faith." And then when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And this is the last thing for us to see in this encounter, is that our response to the power of Jesus is worship. That's our response. Our response to the power of Jesus is worship. When we encounter Jesus, we should worship. That should be our reaction. That's why Matthew makes such an emphasis on this story. Why? Because this is not an encounter about Peter and his faith or lack thereof. This is an encounter about the power of Jesus. Our response to him should be the same as the disciples. When we encounter Jesus, it should bring us into a place of worship, into a posture of praise. It should remind us of who we are and who he is in us. Because apart from Christ, I am nothing. But with Christ, I have new life, eternal life, a purpose-driven life, a life that is committed to him. And when I commit to living that life for him, trusting him, taking steps of faith towards him, God is able to do incredible things through me, through you, things that we can't put reason to, things that we can't understand or make sense of, things that we can't fully comprehend in our understanding, because it's only made possible through the power of the Almighty God living within us. I just gotta say, I bet Peter was so excited to tell this story with everyone. If I was Peter, I'd be like, "Oh, what's up, man? I just walked on the water today. It was incredible. I'd be telling like everyone, they would say, hey, how you doing? My name's Joe. Hey, Joe, my name's Ty. I walk on water. Yeah, I'd be telling everyone because it'd be a highlight in my life. Why? Why was it a highlight in his life? Because he took a risk. He didn't play it safe. He trusted Jesus and pursued his presence in the midst of that. And I believe, church, that the same is said true for you and me here today. I believe that God has incredible things that he wants to do in your life. And he wants to encourage you in your life for your spiritual growth, for your gain, but more importantly, for the advancement of his kingdom. He wants to do something through you that's going to be a blessing to others and advance his kingdom. And I believe God wants to tell a story in your life today. But sometimes, if you're anything like me, we can get caught up in what we know, right? Get caught up in the comfortable, in the extent of my reach. So the question is, will you let faith outweigh that in your life? Will you let faith reign in your life to where it prompts you to take a step towards what God wants to do in you? Or maybe said like this, will you let God reveal his power in your life by taking a step of faith towards him? And remember, just because we take the step of faith doesn't mean that everything just gets better. It doesn't mean this. In fact, it gets more intense. But there's a promise in that. And Jesus brings provision in that. He brings his plan in that. And his plan is always better. His ways are always bigger. His plan is always more fulfilled than mine. Right? And just as Peter discovered, even the winds that are against you, even the storm that feels like it's up against you, Jesus is there redrawing the boundaries, extending life-giving stability. Even when chaos feels like it's getting the other hand, God is near you. He's with you. He has a story to write in you. Will you allow him to do that through taking a step of faith in this season? And in taking a step of faith, will you commit to trusting in him to see it through? Will you see it through? Let's pray. God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this church family and the fact that we can come together and just worship and study your word and encourage each other and spur each other along. God, the way that we can come and serve one another towards the advancement of your kingdom, as Tim talked about earlier, and just everyone putting effort in and serving. God, to bring you glory. And Lord, we are grateful for what you're doing here. We're grateful for this opportunity that we have today. We're grateful for your word, how it speaks to us. It reaches us in our everyday lives. God, it's not just something that we read, but it's living and it's active and it's relevant to the here and the now. And God, we can trust in you because you are sovereign. God, you are the creator of all things. And God, anything that we're facing, you're already ahead of it. And Lord, we just commit our trust to you. And Lord, as we are going to commission ourselves and challenge ourselves to take a step of faith towards you, what you have for us, God, would you give us the strength to see that through so that we're not distracted by the elements around us, but we're focused on your presence as we move forward. And God, we know that your promise remains constant in that, and we give you the praise in response to that in Jesus' name. Amen.